skip it, stream it, see it, binge views. It's time for binge views. Law, Grill, and Tetsy on some new releases. Don't worry about spoilers. Binge views.
Welcome to Binge Views on BingeMedia.net. I'm your host, Moreno, and I'm here with the one and only Chad motherfucking C. What's going on?
Not a lot is happening, man.
Not a. You got a plate full of, a heaping plate full of films this week. You got five that we're going to tackle this week.
Yeah, it's a record for binge views, I think. I think four is the most I've done, so.
Oh, really? Nice.
Setting it up. Let's do this.
For those new to Binge Views is a weekly show where Chad reviews a bunch of new releases that week. So this week we have five, like we said. Got a couple of biggies. One I really, really want to hear about. And a couple, not so much, but.
You're pumped for that Father Figures review, aren't you?
You know, it's actually the first time I've heard of this movie. And I looked at the cast and this fucking horrible poster. And I wanted to see it immediately.
I should be first in line. It's going to be a blockbuster. Killing the box office.
All right. This week we have Del Toro's The Shape of Water, the aforementioned Father Figures, The Greatest Showman, the Alexander Payne Downsizing, and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. What do you want to start with?
I don't care, man. Let's why don't you pick? Let's do that. Let's go through this, and okay, then we can kind of go from there.
I'm dying. I'm chomping at the bit here. I want to hear about Father Figures. This sounds amazing.
Getting this fucking podcast started right. All right. So Father Figures. This is a movie directed. First time director. His name is Lawrence Sher. Mm-hmm. This is starring Owen Wilson, Ed Helms, Terry Bradshaw, Ving Rhames, Cat Williams, J.K. Simmons, and Glenn Close, just to name a few. Writer of this movie also wrote Office Christmas Party, which came out last year. He's not written a lot, so this is a comedy, of course, with you can tell from that cast.
Yeah.
So this is Owen Wilson and Ed Helms' characters. They come to find out upon after their mom gets married here that she's been lying to them for many, many years about who their actual father is. And Ed Helms' character saw on the TV's watching Law and Order, and he sees that this guy resembles this picture that he had of his dad. And so he confronts her, and so that kind of sets them on a mission from there on to go on a road trip with his fraternal twin brother, Owen Wilson, and they go try to find their dad. So if that doesn't make you want to be first in line for the theater, I don't know what does. And that rundown of the actual plot there. So yeah, this is not funny. It's not very good. So I mean, look at the one sheet alone. And
oh, it's awesome. I love it.
It tells you really all you need to know.
It's really like throwback 90s floating head poster.
Yeah, there's a lot of floating heads just on top of each other. Christopher Walken, I don't think I mentioned, he's in this looking like a very old lady in this movie.
I don't know what happens to some dudes. Like they get in their like 60s and they turn into old lesbians.
Yep. That's like,
have you seen Michael Moore recently?
I actually have not.
Google him real quick because it's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know. He's Christopher Walken. He's in like Scrubs. He's like a veterinarian in this movie, and it's just it's not flattering. I don't know. It's very sad. I liked Christopher Walken, and he's just not himself anymore, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, yes, you're right. Michael Moore is Yep, I guess it's been a few years since I've seen what Michael Moore looks like. So Father Figures, this is a rated R. It's I mean, I don't know, dude. There's really not a lot to say about this movie.
Yeah, it's just not good, huh?
Yeah, it's just not really great. No, it's not. It's not very. I mean, comedy is very subjective, but at the same time, I can try to maybe find some of the good things in even movies that are just dumb fun. And this is just, it's just not. There's like a weird bit where Owen Wilson's character is like peeing on a kid. It's just, it's
that sounds funny.
I mean, it just comes out of nowhere, so it's like where the fuck did this come from? But then, like, the end, I don't, like, toward the end, it just gets, like, weird and sad, and it just doesn't really know what it wants to be. It's not, like, slapsticky comedy. Mm-hmm. They're legit, like, upset. They want to find their dad. They think Terry Bradshaw, like, actually, he's playing himself in this movie, and, like, they want him to be their dad so bad, and it's just, yeah. I don't know. It's just no. It's not funny. It's just falls really flat in most areas.
I haven't seen the. Obviously, I hadn't seen the trailer because I didn't fucking know anything about this. But what does the trailer want it to be? Like slapstick comedy, just a straight ahead comedy, romantic comedy.
No, yeah, it's not really slap. Just a straight comedy, I guess. Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, this has been. It's kind of been. It was originally titled Bastards. And a lot of the, so I think it's trying to be, you know, more edgy-ish, and, but I guess a lot of, like, TV, I don't know, ad companies would not play this with that title as the actual movie, so they changed it to Father Figures, like, this, like, early this fall. Mm-hmm. This is also known as Who Is Your Daddy in the UK for our UK listeners, Snape P., that unknown caller there. But yeah, I don't. It's just going for the comedy route. I mean, it clearly is. But I mean, this is going up against a lot of competition this weekend, and I think it's going to just get buried. And then this is one of those movies. In like 10 years, you're going to look back like, what the hell was that? Like, I don't even remember anything about this movie. And I mean, I like Owen Wilson usually in most things. More so is Wes Anderson roles, but
yeah.
This doesn't have a lot to do here. Ed Helms and, you know, they play off each other a little bit, but it's, you know, there's just not a lot for them to do.
All right.
So, yeah, this is going to be a, if you couldn't tell, it's going to be a skip it on the rating scale that we do here.
Okay, definitely skip it. And what's your on 10 rating?
This is, I'm going to go, this is a GC on 10. This is a 4 on 10. Wow. Yeah, this is it's not good. Just avoid this. Don't waste your time. And it's way too long too. It's like an hour and 53 minutes. Like it's just way too long. Like I just don't. Yeah, no. Don't waste your time.
Okay. Well, I was looking at this Lawrence Scherer, first time director, but he's been a DP on like a bunch of stuff.
So yeah.
I mean, is part of the 4 on 10 just because it looks good or?
No, I mean it looks. Well? No, I mean, there's no complaints as far as that goes. I mean, I think everything's, I mean, it's just like a straight, like, yeah, nothing with that bothered me by any means.
It's just a bad movie, but you're not completely offended by it.
There's script problems. It's just not, yeah, it's not funny. It just kind of squanders the ending, and
I fucking hate this movie. You're right. okay, let's move on to, how about Jumanji? Welcome to the jungle. I've never seen the original.
Yeah, so I had not either. I think I talked about this last week a little bit. I have never seen this either. I've got a couple friends, you know, this came out in 95. So this is like prime time when I was a kid. And I just never watched this. I just never grew up with it. Mm-hmm. So I had some friends that are really big fans of it. So we watched it this week. And yeah, I've seen Jumanji now. I watched it a couple nights ago. So going into this, I mean, the original Jumanji is like one of those movies. Like I said, if I would have seen it as a kid, I probably would have dug it. But yeah. I mean, I watched it now and it's just kind of like, okay. I mean, it's not like it was bad by any means. I didn't hate watching it, but it's just not one of those movies that, not for me. All right. So this one is an actual like direct sequel to that. It was kind of like, is this going to be a reboot? Is this a sequel? What is this? But this is a reboot. This picks up the whole board game of Jumanji. It's a board game in the original. And so they play this game and, you know, they have to get to the end of the game in order to, you know, get out of the board game, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so Robin Williams shows up, you know, get rid of this curse. He's ended the original. And so, yeah, this, it by the end of that movie, if you've never seen Jumanji, I don't really care. It's fucking 20, however many years old at this point.
Yeah.
They end the movie with it ends up on this beach. And so at the beginning of this movie, you know, there's a person running on a beach and there's the board game right there. So he picks up the game, takes it home. And so, you know, for the modern audiences, of course, board games aren't, you know, I mean, I still play board games. I like board games, to this audience, you know, this crowd, the kids they're marketing it to, this is straight, you know, video game. So he sees the board game's kind of sitting next to this kid. He's playing a video game at the beginning, and then, you know, lightning strikes. The room kind of brightens up, and then he wakes up the next morning, and then the board game is turned into a video game cartridge. So he gets this, plays it, and gets transported straight into this video game.
Okay.
So then, yeah, the rest is kind of history from there. Then it shows, you know, there's a it flash forwards, you know, 20 years here, and you've got your new characters. Nat Wolf is one of the kids in high school, and he's, you know, kind of nerdy, eccentric kid. And there's a couple other kids. He writes paper for one of them. He's a football player. His name is Fridge. And so they get into some shenanigans. They do some things at school, and then they have to go to detention. So it's kind of like Breakfast Club-ish in that aspect. Yeah, so they go to detention here, and then they're cleaning out some files in a closet, and they stumble upon this video game, which is Jumanji, which had been, you know, throughout the years here. So then they get transported. They play the game here, and then that's where The Rock and Dwayne Johnson and all these characters, I mean, Dwayne Johnson and Jack Black, all those characters kind of come into play here. So then they get transported, and that's they're playing the characters they select in this game. Mm-hmm. So you got Dwayne Johnson. He's the kind of the nerdiest center character. Now he's this bulked up, you know, big dude. The football player is Kevin. He's this big, you know, 6'5 dude. And he gets transported into Kevin Hart's character. You know, he's like 5'5".
Yeah, guy.
Jack Black is the, you know, the teenage Instagram-obsessed social media girl. She gets transported into Jack Black's body. So, yeah, the movie itself goes from there. This is just, I mean, it's just like harmless, dumb fun. This is a fine movie. I honestly, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, that's going to be an absolute piece of shit. It just did not. I was not a fan of the trailers of this. I was kind of dreading watching this for this podcast, but yeah. I mean, I was entertained enough. It's just pretty straightforward. You know, you got Jack Black is kind of the standout here. It's been a while since, you know, he's just in a lot of family movies, which this is kind of a family movie, but at the same time, it's PG-13, and so they talk about penises a lot, and they say bitch and stuff. So
I don't go for that stuff.
Yeah, I don't either. As soon as he said penis, I wanted to leave, but I was like, no.
Good.
No, that PC culture here. but, I mean, yeah, this is, like I said, this is kind of dumb fun. I don't know if I'd watch this movie again, but for, you know, the teenage target audience this is going for, I think they'll probably get a kick out of it. Maybe like for this generation. I mean, The Rock, he's usually pretty charismatic, and he's always, even movies that are not good that he's in, he's usually fine, and he's getting to play, you know, like out of character type, this kind of sissy, you know, kind of like a very nerdy guy, and then he's kind of playing out of character with that. But Kevin Hart, I feel like he's just the same in every movie.
Yeah,
I've never really found his stand up that funny.
Yeah, me either.
It's just not for me. But I mean, he's just, you know, Kevin Hart in this movie. He's not really playing out of character out of all the people in this. Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, or is it Gillan? Killen? Gillan? I don't know. But she's in this as well. She's like the name is her video game name is like the Destroyer of Men. She just like kicks ass and like fights, like break dance fighting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Bobby Cannavale plays the villain in this. He's one of the worst villains. That's really like a negative of this movie. The villain's like not scary at all. He's just kind of like he controls animals. So while they're going into the game, that's one of the things that's kind of cool about it. It's like they run into these like non-player characters, and so they just like repeat the same thing over and over to them.
That's kind of funny.
They're just like, hey, welcome to the game. This is what you do, and so. This guy kind of over and over, and then they go through that. But Bobby Cannavale is supposed to be like the antagonist, and he's just, I don't know. He doesn't speak very much at all. You just kind of see him with his like crazy eye, and then he like transforms into these like reptiles in the jungle that are trying to stop them from completing each level to get to, you know, get out of the video game. But, like I said, overall, it's fine. I'm not going to revisit this and, you know, be like, oh my God, I want to throw on Jumanji tonight. But one time watch, I think it's just harmless. It's fun. Jack Black's pretty entertaining. So got no complaints with that. So okay. Yeah, that's, That's the Jumanji review. If you have any questions about that, then throw them at me. But
yeah, I was going to ask two things. Well, the Bobby Cannavale villain character, is that kind of based off of something that was in the first movie?
No, not really.
Right, new villain?
Yeah, he's kind of like his own thing. Think of the original movie, there's like a... he's like a hunter who's kind of coming after. So, I mean, maybe in that aspect a little bit. Okay. Yeah, your antagonist, but he's playing a pretty different character.
Does it seem like The Rock is still having fun doing movies? Or is he kind of getting bored? Like, does it seem like he's still giving like his all in this?
And just not giving up to be the president.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, he's fine. Yeah, I think so.
That's good. I'm a fucking huge fan of the guy, so.
Yeah, he's super charismatic. He's just a movie star, man. He just pretty much even just you know, like I said, his shit, like even Rampage looks just fucking ridiculous and atrocious, but I'm sure he'll be entertaining enough in that movie, so.
Yeah. What do you call it? Let's see. So Jack Black, I was looking at his IMDb and outside of like Kung Fu Panda, hasn't really been in a whole lot of stuff, but like shorts here and here. 2015, yeah. Goosebumps. He was in a bunch of TV, but not really like killing it the way he did with, you know, like School of Rock and you know, the live action movies as opposed to just voice acting.
Yeah, for sure.
No, so
yeah,
this is good to hear though.
Yeah, I was kind of talking about that too. He's just not been doing a lot lately. He didn't like, just Gulliver's Travels, those type of family movies he's kind of been doing. Kind of just chilling on the side. But like Bernie, I liked Bernie a lot.
That was great, yeah.
It was like 5 or 6 years ago. But I mean, yeah. I mean, this is the same director who did Orange County, so he's kind of reuniting with him.
I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, that's an underrated comedy from
Yeah,
like
it
a,
is. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Good story.
Yeah, the same director of like Sex Tape, Bad Teacher, and Walk Hard as well, Jake Kasdan.
Oh, Jake Kasdan. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's the director. But yeah, so yeah, it's kind of at least nice to see, you know, Jack Black is still, he's still funny. He's still got it a little bit.
Awesome. No, this is good to hear. I might fucking check this out.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if we're going on the scale, this is going to be a stream it. I mean, you don't need to go like go to the theater to watch this, but I mean, yeah, you're home on like a fucking Friday night or something. It's just harmless. Okay. It's fun. It's just dumb fun. It's fine. This is not decently, like pleasantly surprising. Is not just fucking atrocious like I thought it was going to be. So
yeah,
I mean, I went in with very negative, like, why do I got to do this? But I did it, and I was fine with it. So stream this.
I'm gonna guess you're gonna give this a 6 on 10, though.
Yeah, this is probably the 6. Okay. This is a 6 on 10. Yeah,
all right, cool. I'm kind of surprised to hear this. It's actually making me interested to watch the flick now. So
yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, this is not going to be in the top, not the top 20 or 30 even for this year. It's fun. It's a fun movie. It's not fucking atrocious, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. I'm very interested in Downsizing, but I haven't heard that much in The Greatest Showman. So let's get on with that one.
All right, let's do this. All right, so The Greatest Showman. So I was on the BingeCast earlier this year. I don't know if I talked about this very much, but 20th Century Fox. So this is a 20th Century Fox movie, obviously, before they were bought by Disney. And so their entire like, so CinemaCon, it's the National Association of Theaters. They come out, they pimp all their product for the next year. Like, this is what we got coming. This is everything. So this was like the biggest thing that their entire presentation was geared around was this movie, The Greatest Showman.
Okay.
So they had balloons in the ceiling. They had dancers, actors, performers everywhere. Like, they had like however many thousands of Fox employees in the audience, and they just lost their mind. They're singing all this, just singing the songs from the movie. Balloons dropped. There's just this huge spectacle movie. Mm-hmm. So they're just going, you know, going hard for this. And so, yeah, this is a first-time director as well. Kind of ties back to the early one. Michael Gracie is the director. Hugh Jackman, this has been in, like, production, like, for 8 years here.
What? So,
yeah, he's been trying to get this made, and the studio wouldn't commit to anything. They're just like, we don't want to do this. So yeah, this huge spectacle movie that you can kind of, you know, get from that. And so Hugh Jackman, Michelle Williams, Zac Efron, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya are all in this. Just a huge, just a big spectacle musical movie.
Okay.
And so yeah, this movie just, to me, it just feels like 15 like music videos that are just like cut into a movie. There's like no plot. There's like no story hardly. This is about P.T. Barnum, you know, creator of freaking Barnum
yeah,
Bailey's.
Of course, he's
Circus.
One of my heroes.
Yeah.
No, seriously, he's one of my heroes. I love that guy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the movie about his, it's supposed to be a movie about his life. You know, he's supposed to be, the, you know, fucking, you know, documentary, not doc, like biopic that you think this is going to be. And then it, yeah, it's just like music videos cut together for these live, like, spectacle performances. And it's just, not very good. I did not enjoy this. The big thing they're marketing with this is that it's the same lyricist from La La Land.
I saw that. I'm on IMDb right now looking at it. Yeah. Featuring the Academy Award winning lyricist of La La Land.
Yeah. So these are big musical numbers. Every single song in this movie feels like it's just a stage play. If that's your thing, you're big, you know, into these performances, then you'll probably get something out of this just based on that alone. But there's just like, I mean, I see that it's like listing this as a biography of this. Like, there's really nothing. I mean, P.T. Barnum, it starts out in the first, like, within like 5 to 10 minutes of this movie, it kind of shows his upbringing. He's like a, you know, he's kind of an outcast kid. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, starts this, like, circus full of, you know, these freak show type acts, eccentric people.
Hell yeah.
But within 10 minutes, he's already got the 10, 15 minutes, he's got the entire circus already. He's picked them all up and they're going. So I feel like there could have been a lot more that you could have done with that, with like his story, which I think would have been a lot more interesting.
Oh, but, absolutely. Yeah. You got to read his, he wrote a biography on him, autobiography, which probably has a lot of horseshit in there. But there's another biography, I forget who it's written by, that's also really good. He's got a fucking great story. It's amazing that none of that was captured, though.
Yeah, it really wasn't. This movie's mainly just, yeah, they're showing P.T. Barnum as he just wanted to escape like this. The girl he married came from, you know, a lot of wealth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't come from anything. So he kind of wants to prove these people wrong and how he can be successful in that. And that's what that's really the only kind of side of this guy they show. Okay. And so it kind of comes full circle where he's, you know, toward the end of this movie, it's not really spoiling anything, but I mean, it kind of just comes. Yeah. He's came from nothing into something and he kind of, you know, stays at the top with this, obviously the circus. But I mean, like I said, it's just these huge musical numbers with not a lot. There's no story to this movie at all. It's just like one musical number after another, just a bunch of music videos. And you're just like, okay,
there's no like connective tissue between all the musical numbers.
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, it's very, very faint. It's just very, you know, like Zac Efron, he's this, he's running a show, and so P.T. Barnum runs into him and he wants him to join to help him, you know, kind of sell his show a little better because he's having some issues getting, you know, like the wealthier people involved. And so there's very few scenes in between here that you're left to kind of put the pieces together. But I mean, yeah, this feels like almost like an MTV-ish type movie. I don't know, it's not for me. And I even like, I'm not the biggest musical guy, but I dug La La Land, fuck you Jim Law. And I like that movie, and you know, Sweeney Todd, there's some musicals that I dig, but I mean, I'm not a huge musical guy, but I can appreciate a decent, you know, story or anything involved with that. But there's just no story here. It's just spectacle for being spectacle, and it just wants to be, I'm sure a lot of these songs, people are going to love the soundtrack, which that's fine. It sounds very poppy and very, very mainstream in that aspect.
It's more modern, the music.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, from La La Land, you can tell, I mean, some of the songs, they're catchy enough.
Yeah, but
it's not really my stuff. I'm not going to download this soundtrack and listen to it by any means, but I can definitely see where, like, the mainstream audiences are going to, like, just eat this up. I know a lot of people are already just, like, loving the soundtrack, so. There's just not a lot of movie here. It's just nothing. No.
You know, when you look at the poster, and all I can think of is, you know, Hugh Jackman has this fucking cheese dick smile.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, this is his baby.
Uh-huh.
Like, just by the poster. Like, he just couldn't wait to sing and dance.
Yep. He's been in interviews. Like, he was just like, I've been trying to get this movie made for so many years. And, yeah, I mean, this is you said, it's definitely his baby. He's proud of it. And, I mean, the spectacle and everything else is fine. The performances are okay, but, I mean, it's not like Hugh Jackman's bad. I don't think I've seen a movie that I'm like, Hugh Jackman sucked in that movie. But
Yeah.
it's just there's nothing else here outside of performances. This could have just been like a stage play, and it would have been
this poster drives me crazy. Like, it just makes me so fucking mad.
Yeah, especially if you're... I mean, if you're, like you said, a P.T. Barnum fan, I think this movie will probably make you even more angry, because they literally don't touch on his life hardly at all, and he seems like a super interesting and flawed character.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Like, outside of that, yeah, it's just, they don't really show a lot of that side of him. So, yeah, this is, you couldn't tell, this is Skip It. So, if you're interested in, like, musical numbers, like, go freaking listen to the soundtrack, and you, like, get the gist of the movie right there. You can, outside of seeing this happen, that's the movie right there. Just the musical performances.
And your rating? Is this another Garrett?
Yeah, this is probably a 4/10. I texted my wife, and I'm like, this movie fucking sucks. Like, I just don't want to be in here anymore.
Does she like musicals?
Yeah, she's fine with them. I mean, it's not like her favorite genre of movies, but she can handle them. Yeah, like me, pretty much. Not digging The Greatest Showman.
What was I going to say? Oh, this has almost 1,200 ratings on... or reviews or whatever on IMDb. 7.8 on 10.
Nice. Yeah.
It's fucking...
I think, yeah. Mainstream crazy. Audiences will probably eat this up, man. I don't know. It's got a lot of... I mean, everything this week is coming out in wide release, so there's a lot of competition this week, and of course, Last Jedi is just going to destroy everything again, but...
Yeah, definitely.
Regardless, yeah, I think this will hit with some crowd, like some of the crowds on, you know, Christmas Day. Just want to go. It's not. I don't even know if this is like a family. I mean, I guess it's PG rated, so it's pretty like it's mild as far as anything like that goes, but not really a family movie. It's supposed to be this inspirational fucking movie, and I just wasn't for me.
All right, Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to. Seen a bunch of ads for Alexander Payne's new Downsizing, and I couldn't be less interested in it. It just looks horrible.
Oh, so this man, I don't know. This is easily my most disappointing movie of the year right here. So I'm a big Alexander Payne fan. I've liked everything he's done.
Yeah.
From Election to Sideways, Descendants. Nebraska was my favorite movie of 2013. I fucking love that movie. Like, everything Alexander Payne's done. About Schmidt, I love that movie.
Yep.
It kind of goes back to the bench cast earlier this year, the CinemaCon footage. This was like everybody was super hyped after this. Everybody was super excited. And yeah, the trailers, they kind of give everything away in one of like the second trailer they released for this movie. They kind of show everything that you really shouldn't watch. Just don't watch the trailers if you haven't seen them already. So it just kind of spoils that alone. And it's like the first, this movie, for those that don't know, if you've not seen anything about it, so there's a technology that's invented called downsizing where, with all the, you know, everything that's going on in the world, there's a lot of things going, like, pollution and all this. They're trying to create a new thing to where you will shrink yourself to 5 inches tall. And so this obviously creates, you know, you're using less waste. He comes out, there's a guy that comes out, he has a trash bag. He said, this is their, you know, the waste for an entire, like, year right here in this trash bag alone. Mm-hmm. And so you downsize yourself, you shrink yourself, and you instantly become way more wealthy. You have more everything, like everything involved with this. And so Matt Damon, he's a occupational therapist in Omaha who's kind of, you know, hating his life. Not really, everything's not really lining up with what he imagined, you know, and he sees this procedure and he wants to, and his wife are kind of wanting to, you know, better themselves and see if this will do something that will change everything. And so, yeah, outside of that, outside of just the basic concept, this movie, the first hour or so, is pretty good. It's, you know, very interesting. I think the concept itself is pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and so all of that is pretty cool, and which is the trailer. You see that, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this. And then about an hour into this, this movie just comes to like a screeching halt. Just I don't know what happens. It just switches tone altogether. It kind of lines up with Matt Damon's earlier movie this year, Suburbicon. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's trying to say. It turns into just literally nothing to do with like the whole concept of the movie, and it just kind of switches gears. And this is, like I said, this is my most disappointing movie of 2017. Holy shit. We're in the last 2 weeks here. And so, yeah, I don't know. What do you got for me? What questions? I'm just kind of bummed. I'm bummed about this movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Especially after, you know, Payne's Nebraska being your favorite movie of 2013. Yeah. I mean, and then this is his follow-up. And
yeah.
It's such a disappointment. That sucks. Yeah,
he's been working on it for years, I guess. This was supposed to be his follow-up to Sideways. And then The Descendants and Nebraska kind of just, like, fell in line before this. Yeah, and so I don't know. I don't know that he co-wrote this with like another person. Christoph Waltz is in this as well. Kristen Wiig is his wife. She's a super bitch. If you haven't seen the trailer,
yeah.
There's kind of a newcomer. Her name is Hong Chow. She's kind of the. She plays a amputee who's kind of. So Matt Damon gets once he's in this world, he's kind of just got to figure out life in this new world. So she kind of is helping him along his journey here. And so a lot of the themes of the movie, it just comes back to like, you know, you transform into this 5 inches, you escape from like your world that you think sucks, but at the same time, you're still carrying over yourself into this world, so you still have to deal with your demons and your shit outside of, you know, getting a fresh start. But, I mean, if they would have just stuck to kind of that, I think that it would have been a lot better of a movie. But this movie is way too long. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. Holy it's just shit. It just drags forever. My wife actually did watch this movie with me, and we both were just kind of like – like I said, we were digging the first hour or so. We you know, there's some decent laughs. Just like the whole concept is just kind of ridiculous. See, they show them the whole like taking their teeth out. They've got to like just redesign them and get their teeth back in and shrink the molds. I mean, they can shrink everything. This whole there's colonies, multiple colonies, for each individual sect. There's a place called Leisureland, which is where Matt Damon is going to be going, but they just squander it. It's just really sad. It just makes me sad. I'm gonna turn into emo Chad. Feel that title from Emo Kev.
How's Damon in this? Despite everything,
he's fine. Matt Damon is one of those actors to me that I feel like a lot of his roles could be played by anybody. Like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like he's that kind of guy. He's usually decent in everything. I have no complaints with Matt Damon, but
yeah.
He never really stands out to me in any movie that he's in. I'm like, oh my God, did you see that Matt Damon performance? He's fine.
I mean, the guy's fine. I don't think anybody's ever said that. Exactly. Did you see Matt Damon in the new movie? It was fucking amazing.
bro, that's fucking, he just killed it. No, but that's what I'm saying. Does anybody ever say that? Like,
I don't think so.
I never really thought about it, though.
Now I'm thinking about all the movies that he's been in. And, that could be somebody else for sure.
Yeah, almost every movie. Every movie he's been in. It's just like, okay, he's fine. I like Matt Damon. I've never been like, that movie fucking sucked because of Matt Damon. But mm-hmm. never been like, Matt Damon's the best actor. He deserves everything. No. But, yeah, he's fine. He's good in this movie. Christoph Waltz is pretty funny in his scenes that he's in. I like Christoph Waltz. It's kind of hard for that guy to suck. He's just amazing in everything. He speaks, like, 9 languages. He's just the man. But, I really don't know what else to say. It just makes me sad. This movie makes me sad. Just based on the first hour alone of this movie, I'd say stream it. But there's still a part of me. I think the part of me that is an Alexander Payne fan says stream it. Outside of that, this is a skip it, though. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, it sucks. It's just too fucking long. Like, why? I don't know why this movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes. There's just no reason for it at all.
You didn't want to give it that skip it rating. I could tell.
I didn't want to because I really like Alexander Payne.
Yeah.
I like all of his movies. Most of his movies are just like, you know, these flawed characters and, you know, it's just kind of character studies of these people. But this movie just, it's kind of almost the opposite of that a little bit because it's just, it's kind of showing you, it's just hard to talk about with obviously out spoiling it. But
it just
hits a wall for no reason. And I just don't know what he's trying to say in the movie. Maybe I'll revisit this movie a few years down the line and, like, I don't know, maybe it'll just hit me, but I at this moment, one viewing, I just don't really know what he's trying to say, and I was not a fan.
All right. That makes sense to me. I'm going to guess you're going to give this a 5 on 10.
This is actually, I just put it as a 6.
All right.
Six on ten. You're making me give the number ratings, but that's what I gave it, so.
All right. Now, Benicio del Toro's new Shape of Water is. Did you see that post that Garrett posted in the binge group?
Not sure
of the one critic who. Yeah, he posted a lot of stuff. The one critic who just got pretty much everything wrong.
Rex Reed, I think.
Rex
right?
Reed, yeah, that's who it was.
He called him
Benicio del Toro.
It's just trolling at its finest.
It's great.
Yes.
So The Shape of Water, I think movie fans, film geeks, have been really, really looking forward to this for a while. And it's been in limited release, and now it's spreading out. And I think Kupka texted me, or maybe I saw it on Facebook, and said that it's coming to a theater near us. So super stoked about this. Let me look at Del Toro's filmography really quick.
So I can tell you right now I'm going to piss some people off here.
Okay. Let's see. TV series not- Troll Hunters, Crimson Peak in 2015, TV, video game, blah, 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 Pacific Rim in 2013.
Yes, that was his most recent effort.
Yeah.
So I've seen every Del Toro. This is where I say I'm going to piss people off. I've seen every Del Toro movie except Pan's Labyrinth, which
The fuck, man.
Yep, I know. That's almost everyone's like favorite movie of his. Everybody loves it. I've seen every fucking. I've seen Kronos, friggin' Devil's Backbone, Mimic. I've seen every fucking movie of Guillermo's except Pan's Labyrinth, and I don't know what it is. There's just like I want to watch the movie. It's just I've never been in the right mindset to watch. I don't know. There's just always been something. I'm like, and I started it the other night, and then I just got like I had it like within like 10 minutes, and I got distracted. Something happened with like work, and then I ended up just going back to it. So I watched the first 10 minutes of Pan's Labyrinth. I've heard it's amazing. Outside of that, I've seen all of his movies outside of that, so that's where I knew I'd piss people off, because everybody loves that fucking movie.
Yeah.
I'm just a cocksucker asshole that hasn't seen it yet, so I'm sorry. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah, now that makes sense to me. Shape of Water. In a 1960s research facility, a mute janitor forms a relationship with an aquatic creature Now, I haven't, other than like stills, this is all I know about the movie. Like, I haven't seen any trailers. Not really a trailer guy, so.
Yeah.
Tell me about The Shape of Water.
Okay, so Sally Hawkins, she plays a character named Eliza Esposito. She is a mute woman who works at this underground facility with Octavia Spencer's character. And they're the, you know, the help, the janitors of this facility. You know, they clean up the shit, the piss, all of this. It kind of elaborates on how, you know, their lives are kind of like, ugh, you know. And so an asset essentially is delivered to this facility, and they are tasked, you know, with, they got to go in overnight and they got to clean this stuff, clean up everything. And he is a amphibious creature, played by Doug Jones, who's in multiple other Guillermo movies, of course, Hellboy.
Yeah, it's his news.
Yep. Pan's Labyrinth, which I haven't seen. I know he's the fucking eye guy in that movie.
You know, eye guy from Pan's Labyrinth.
I know fucking eye guy. I know. Doug Jones. I've seen him in a lot. He was in Sons, the really awkward in that fucking TV show. Remember that? He was the deputy.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think it's weird seeing Doug Jones out of like costume, period. The guy's just kind of, he's a little strange looking.
Yeah,
Yeah, so anyways, they're tasked with this. Michael Shannon is the guy who brought this creature from the Amazon. He is working for the government. He's this super asshole, just playing it up. Michael Shannon's I love Michael Shannon. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
But anyway, he's the opposite of Matt Damon. I've almost like, I come out of a movie and I'm like, did you see that movie with Michael Shannon? Michael Shannon was fucking awesome in that movie. Mm-hmm. He's just super great in this. He's the villain. And so during her Eliza's time with this, she kind of develops a relationship with this amphibious creature, and it kind of, you know, spirals from there. I don't really want to talk about too much more because I know if you're excited for this, I don't want to spoil anything else or talk. I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I don't want to talk about too much of the plot. But this movie is, I don't know, man, this might be my favorite movie of the year. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. I'm throwing it out, man.
Nice.
Everything about this movie is just, it is super charming. Like, I don't know. It's like a sci-fi fantasy love story. It's super funny. There's just so many, everything about this movie. There's not like a wasted frame. It's just the set pieces are great. I mean, Guillermo, without full disclosure, not seeing Pan's Labyrinth, this is my favorite. This is my favorite Guillermo movie that I've seen. Outside also, of one fucking movie.
If you watch Pan's Labyrinth this year, then that's going to be your favorite movie of the year, even though that came out in like 2013 or something. Or 12 or
like,
11.
I think it was like 6. I think it was way before that. It's like way earlier.
My film knowledge just goes back to 2012 and 13. I'm sticking to that.
But yeah, man, this movie, I mean, I was trying to put together my like top 10 list, or not just like, you know, movies I've seen this year, and this was, I was hard pressed not to put this easily in the top 5. Yeah, I mean, Sally Hawkins is just, she's super, without saying a word in this movie, like everything that she gets across is just super powerful. She's neighbors with Richard Jenkins, who is her one friend, and he's kind of this eccentric, kind of goofy older guy who's just, you know, kind of, he's an artist, but he feels like the kind of the world is like passed him by a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so their relationship is great. I have zero complaints with anything about this movie. The score is amazing. Like, it's just super spot on every scene, the colors, everything. The cinematography is great.
How's the creature design?
Guillermo says this is his version of what the creature from the Black Lagoon, that creature, what happens if he gets the girl. So he's been saying that, you know, in interviews and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he very much resembles that creature. He's very similar ish in, you know, style, everything with that. He is but even Doug Jones, like I said, he doesn't say a word either. And everything, their relationship without saying a word together, and just, you know, actions and the way that he moves in this, I think you guys have talked on the podcast before about how like Andy Serkis, you know, him as Caesar should almost, you know, Yeah. There should be almost something recognition for Oscars in that aspect.
Sure, absolutely.
But like, yeah, Doug Jones just in this makeup and everything. He's just his movements and everything are just super powerful. And yeah, you're just super interested and invested in everything that's going on in this movie at all times. Yeah, it's super. Like, I really didn't expect it from the trailer alone. I didn't expect any comedy, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen, you know, Guillermo has a little bit of comedy in some of his stuff, but even like his most recent. That's why going into this, I was kind of. I mean, Crimson Peak and Pacific Rim are his last two, and they're fine. Pacific Rim is just like, you know, just goofy monster movie, but outside of that, I'm just like, eh. Yeah. But this is something so totally different from any of those. It's just, I mean, Devil's Backbone is probably my favorite of his movies that I've seen outside of Pan's Labyrinth. Sorry, guys.
Fucking piece of shit.
That's my favorite of his movies. And I think, I mean, I like this more than The Devil's Backbone. I just have no complaints all around, man. This movie is fucking awesome. It's so good. Michael Stolberg is also in this.
Oh, he is? I love that guy. That guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's so underrated. He's everything. Yeah, he's a freaking Boardwalk and A Serious Man.
Yep.
Yeah, he's in Call Me By Your Name, which is one of the movies I'm not seeing this year, which is everybody's loving that, too.
Okay.
He's just Fargo this year. Yeah, the guy is super underrated.
Yeah.
Just everything all around, man. This movie's fucking awesome. It's definitely, this is, see it for sure.
This is definitely go out and see it immediately if it's in your area.
Yeah, this is finally expanding everywhere, like we've talked about. It's been very limited release. This week it's fine. I think it's in like 800 theaters this weekend, so I feel like a lot of people in the binge-verse should be on them. So you gotta, support this shit. This is fucking good shit, man. This is an awesome movie, for sure.
How does the time period work as far as, like, you know, coloring the story or whatever?
So this is set in, like, the 1960s during the Cold War, so... Yeah, a lot of, like, colors are very, you know, your green, your muted tones and everything.
Oh, okay. So it's more visually?
Yeah. It's very, very Guillermo gothic type in that aspect.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, this is fucking, it's just so good, man. I'm just a lot of people are, like, saying, like, uncomfortable with maybe, like, the love story between the creature and the woman, but it's just like all these kind of outsiders and outcasts, you know, kind of coming together and banding, and it's just like it's so good. It's fucking awesome.
No, but Beauty and the Beast is fine.
Yeah.
God exactly. Forbid the creature of the Black Lagoon actually gets the girl.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely fucking see this movie. See it. See it on 10.
See it on 10. Which is probably a 9. It's gotta be. Yeah. I mean, it's your favorite movie of the year so far.
I said it's in the conversation. Okay, I can't quite say that yet, but it's definitely it's top five.
You said it's your favorite movie of all time.
I said it might be of all time. That's the end. when I get a tattoo of this movie, then I'll say that. But no, it's of the year. Yeah, it's up there, man. It's top five for sure. I think. There's nothing. This is Guillermo at his best.
Guillermo. Outside
of, I haven't seen a Pan's Labyrinth. Fuck off. So yeah, but this is fucking awesome. It's the best movie. Even if I watch Pan's Labyrinth at this point, I'm just still going to say this is his best movie. So.
All right. Well, fucking watch Pan's Labyrinth. Get it over with.
I'm going to do it. Okay.
You and Casey Liss should check it out because it's a great movie.
I will do that.
All right. Holy shit. That flew by.
It's five movies. We banged them out.
We got one See It, one Stream, and three Skip It. That's not. I mean, that's not bad. Maybe that's kind of bad, but that's still not bad.
Yeah, for wide releases, it's not bad. Because I mean, I went through. Like I said, I did my top 10, and like all my top 10 are like these fucking limited releases, and I'm like, But yeah, for wide releases, they release a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit. And just, even like for downsizing, which is your Skip It, you gave it a 6/10. That's still.
Yeah, I mean,
better than average.
Technically 5/7 is a Stream It, so I mean, it's 2 Stream It's, 2 Skip It's, but I mean, we're not being a stickler on this.
Oh, yeah. God damn it! I always forget about that.
God damn it, Alex!
Fuck! God damn it! All right, what do you have on tap for next week? Anything?
So next week there is one release that comes out on Christmas Day. All the Money in the World that. Was reshot famously Kevin Spacey scenes with good old fashioned what's his face? Christopher Plummer replaced him.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin Spacey.
So yeah, we can do that next week, and then there's Darkest Hour, this Gary Oldman's new movie. That goes wide this week, so that starts to expand, but I was not able to catch that one this week, so we can do that one as well. We can do those two next week.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's what we got on tap. And then after that, there's no more wide releases for the rest of this year, and then January 5th kicks off with Insidious, The Last Key. So I've got some homework.
There's a new Insidious movie?
Yep. I've got some homework because I've never seen a fucking single Insidious movie. So,
holy shit. I got to see. What is the last one I saw?
There's been three of them, right?
There's been three. I thought maybe there was a fourth one, but I guess not.
Yeah, I've not seen a single Insidious. So I've got to watch those in the next 2 weeks here to get ready for that. So
two's really good.
It's my binge views movie homework.
Okay, I didn't see three.
Insidious three, okay. Yeah, I've never seen any of them. I have nothing. I don't even know when they came out. I mean, I know when they came out, but I don't fucking know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been drinking since 5:30. Sorry.
No, I really like Insidious 1 and 2.
That's what I've heard. I've heard the first one is actually pretty decent, and I've meant to watch it the past few, Halloween. That's me. I love horror around Halloween season, and that's really, the only time I really delve into it. But
yeah.
Because when it comes out in fucking January, I have no desire to watch a fucking horror movie. So
yeah, totally.
It's going to be hard to motivate myself, but I'll do it. So.
Well, all right.
Do it all for the good piece.
Fucking sounds good.
Did you watch the Sicario 2 trailer yet?
I actually did watch that. What did you think about it?
I don't know, man. I didn't. I was not a big fan. It just felt like one of my friends, he was talking to me about it. He's a big Sicario fan. And he was saying that it looked like a bunch of shots that were just left out of the first movie. And it almost did.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Benicio is shooting that gun with his finger on the side. It just looks super cheesy. I don't know. Yeah. Did that movie really need a sequel? I don't know. I don't
think so. I mean, it kind of ended. I'll tell you this. I watched the trailer and I like the first movie so much. I really want this one to be good. And it sounds like all bets are off.
Huh.
You know, the Josh Brolin character and Benicio as his proxy are going to, fuck a lot of shit up with almost without any regard whatsoever.
Yeah.
So,
and that's
the one positive.
Yeah, and it's still written by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote the first one in Color High Water.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a shot no matter what. The trailer, regardless of the trailer, but, I mean, the guy's he's batting 1,000 for me right now. The fucking deputy on Sons of Anarchy, he's a fucking awesome writer. Who would know? Who would have thunk?
Yeah, I mean, he did, what did he do this year?
Wind River, man.
Wind River.
It was awesome.
Fucking amazing movie. Yeah, yep. I'll be there for Sicario 2, but, I mean, the fact that Denis Villeneuve is not coming back, it's that guy, I mean, he killed Sicario, so.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he made that movie. Yep. Everything he does, man, that guy's, he's another one. Everything he's done, I've loved, so. No complaints with Denis so far.
Yeah, me either.
Did you watch Blade Runner yet, this year?
Yeah, I saw that trip.
Oh, you did? Okay. I don't remember your review, sorry.
I didn't really care for it all that much.
No? All right.
It was, way too long for the story that they were trying to tell. And I hate to, lead off with saying, with a runtime complaint, but that one in particular, I mean, we're fucking watching Ryan Gosling fly in real time, slowly. It was fucking, I was like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it's pretty true.
And bringing Harrison Ford back was just, people bitch about fan service, but there was no reason for that character to be in there.
It could have just been its own separate sci-fi movie at that point. You could have expanded on the universe, but Decker. I mean, I'm a big Blade Runner fan, the original, and he's just grumpy Harrison Ford in every fucking movie now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I give it a 6 out of 10. 6 or 7 out of 10.
I think that movie might be in my top 10. I fucking loved it. I really liked it a lot, but I do need to revisit with it.
I love that. I mean, I love Denis Louise. I'm just going to call him Denis Louis. Denis Villeneuve. I love his visual style. Like, he's got a very distinct vision, and I fucking love that. Yeah. Otherwise, I just don't care for it. But that, you know, that opening scene with Batista was I love that shit. That was such a great opening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
That's I think my favorite story that came out of that is that Denny told Ridley Scott to leave the set while he was like filming, because Ridley Scott was like trying to be like, no, I would have done this. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, leave my set. Because Ridley Scott, all the money in the world that comes out next week is Ridley Scott. And his last few movies, man, have not been Alien Covenant. That was his last movie. So
dude, fuck that movie right in its butthole.
I mean, and that. I know, man. And I was a defender of Prometheus, and I thought it was fine. That movie legit makes me like Prometheus less.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah, because we did the retrospectives with Garrett on the Aftertaste. Yep. And, you know, like, I didn't hate Prometheus. Like, going into the retrospectives, I was like, why does fucking Jack hate Prometheus so much? Like, this is not a bad movie. And rewatched it. Still not a bad movie. And for me, it's got its problems for sure, but like, I still didn't really hate it until I saw Covenant, and I'm like, well, fuck everything right now, just fuck everything right now.
And they're talking about the next one. It's just like, we're gonna make it just all about the androids now. It's like, that's not a fucking alien movie. Just call it something else. I just don't understand. Like, that's the whole point of this whole thing. I think that's why Jack hates it so much, and everybody else. Like, why does it have to be tied into this alien franchise? It's just these fucking studios that just want so much money. Yep. Throw a fucking name on it. We got an alien movie. It's like, no, it's just dumb. But yeah, I mean, the counselor, Exodus. I mean, I like the Martian. But yeah, Rob, I mean, his movies have not been good for a long time, but I'll always give a pass for Blade Runner and Alien. I mean, those two kind of give you a hall pass for life.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, outside of that, his last like 10, 15 years has just not been great.
Yeah,
so.
I've not seen The Martian.
I actually did like The Martian, and it's not because of Matt Damon, so fuck off. But it's a fine movie, yeah. It's a comedy, according to the Golden Globes, those fucking assholes, which they're the same fucking...
Really?
Yeah, they're the same... Hollywood Foreign Press is the worst, dude. They nominated all the money in the world before like it had screened for anyone. So they're just like basing off like, I mean, that doesn't tell you how much of a joke that award show is. It's just, I don't know what does. Yeah. Like, never screened for anyone, but Christopher Plummer did these reshoots. He's getting nominated instantly. It's no like, shit. Fuck. It's so stupid.
Let's see. The story of the kidnapping of 16-year-old John Paul Getty III and the desperate attempt by his devoted mother to convince his billionaire grandfather, Jean Paul Getty, to pay the ransom. I mean, sounds like a pretty decent setup. So
yeah, it's decent enough. So hopefully, I don't know. Maybe he's rebounding. I'll see.
Yeah,
I'll hold
up. It looks like a straight drama. So, when's the last? Is The Martian considered a drama to you?
I mean, it's like a dramedy. There's comedic elements, but it's definitely a drama outside of that. I mean,
talk to the Hollywood Foreign Press about that.
It's comedy. It's comedy for sure.
Yeah, The Counselor was a piece of shit, though.
But The Greatest Showman also got nominated for Best Musical / Comedy, so it's comedy. It's funny. It's really funny. P.T. Barnum's whole life. Super funny.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's wrap this bitch up. This has been Binge Views on BingeMedia.net with myself, Moreno, and Chad C. Stay tuned to BingeMedia.net for the flagship BingeCast on Mondays. Every Monday, we'll be doing a Christmas drop coming up, so make sure to check that out, as well as other things on the network, including the Binge Sportscast, the Aftertaste, which Garrett is going over the Hannibal movies. Hannibal Lecter movies. He started with Manhunter, and he's moving on to Silence of the Lambs. Gamecast, Binge Gamecast, always doing cool stuff, as well as Small Screen Heroes. So keep an eye on BingeMedia.net for a bunch of content for your ear holes, as Jim Law would like to say.
Always.
Where is Jim Law?
# where's Law?
All right, man. I will talk to you next week.
All right, man. I'll see you.
Yeah. You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bobo Girl.